This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar. Here is a clue to tonight's study. Not forsaken, but ordered by the Lord. These are the steps of a good man, for the Lord will not forsake those who seek his faith. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 19th day of August, 2016, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 through chapter 7, verse 11, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 26, and the New Testament reading is Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Visit the lifestyle store at warn-usa.com. where you will find specially selected top name brand products that range from survival items of all kinds to personal needs and other miscellaneous items. When you need that something extra to help you in your journey, go to the Warn Radio Lifestyle Store at warn-usa.com. And by shopping with Warn Radio in our Lifestyle Store, you are supporting the WIBR Warn Radio Ministry and helping to ensure this message continues to get out. And the Watchman and I want to say thank you to all of our supporters, listeners, and those who pray for us. We truly do appreciate it. You can call Warn Radio and the Watchman to get in on the latest prophecy, world events, biblical teaching, and preparation for what is coming. Just follow us, follow Warn Radio at hashtag Warn Radio, and you can follow the Watchman at hashtag WatchmanIS216 or hashtag Watchman, WGS underscore Watchman. And from Faith Life Books comes another free ebook for you. This is about the UN and USA operations. Go to our Faith Living store, and you can get your copy free. Go to DanaGlennSmith.com. Find the link in the nav bar. You'll see the book featured on the front page. While this ebook is free, it's not cheap. It is a professional book, and Dana has done it with his own graphics, and he's worked very hard on it, and I hope you will appreciate it. It's the UN Globalist Operations in the USA. It discusses the following. Any chance UN will be ready for operations in the U.S. as a peacekeeping force? Will the UN send peacekeepers into the USA in light of the civil unrest within this nation? Can or will the UN invade the U.S.? Can the UN handle as a peacekeeper those things already on its plate? should we worry more about the UN or our own government? Well, you can find out all about that by going to Faith Life Media at DanaGlennSmith.com for your free copy of this ebook. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound of Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Greetings. Can you hear me?
You're not real loud. It's like a whisper.
You're kidding. I wonder what happened. Can you hear me now?
A little better, but not much.
Well, it must be this phone here.
Can you turn the volume up on it? On that phone?
Can you hear me now?
Not much better.
Huh?
Hmm. No, you're pretty low.
Really? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Is it good or bad?
It's low. I can hardly hear you.
Well, it was shouting a lot.
Now it's a little better.
How's that?
Yes, that's much better.
Well, I don't know. We've got a bunch of static on the phone, and there's not much we can do about it. We've had a call in. We called in last night about 11. We had a terrible rainstorm, and it took out our telephone last night and the internet. And so I spent most of the time today getting things uploaded, and that's about all I could get done. Took all day to do it, practically. I mean, from early in the morning to about 1, 12:30.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah. And the lucky thing of it is that the internet came back for a while, and then it went down quite a bit, and then it came back, and it just fluctuates. So we're hoping we can get through this. And when I talked to the phone company last night, they said they were going to be texting me, letting me know what's going on. They never did that, and I've never heard from them, so maybe they'll show up tomorrow. I don't know. But at any rate, we're here on a Friday night, and I apologize for the sound quality, but, you know, this is the only way that I can really get everything doing that we do when we do the show. And if it gets real bad, we'll just cut this thing short tonight. But, you know, around here we've had, you know, for us, real hot weather for a couple of months, and then all of a sudden overnight this thing got cold. I mean, it dipped down, and today it was in the, what was it, in the 40s today?
Yeah,
in the 40s. And see, we've been, you know, running high 90s to 100, and we've been really hot for a couple of months, really hot, and that's hot for us.
And to drop that down like that, I don't like it. I don't want the cold weather for the cool weather.
Yeah, well, that's,
I like it in
what
the
80s. That's about a 50-some degree drop right there.
Yeah.
And so it's supposed to be around 40 tonight, and it's supposed to be a little bit better tomorrow, but we'll be in the 70s. But we've rained last night and most of today. And whenever we get a lot of rain, these phone lines around here, all of them just are a mess, especially in this whole area here. And we know this because we've had them out, oh, I don't know, lost track 9-10 times over the years. And we had some pretty good ones come down that told us what the problem is in this area. And you know, the phone company has all the money in the world, but they don't have enough money to fix the phone lines like they should, so who knows. But at any rate, we're here. We're thankful to be here, and we're thankful to be online. We're able to call in, and everything's kind of gingerly right now, and it's just the way it is, you know. And I know that, you know, as long as we've been preaching and teaching and doing this stuff, you know, you get to the point to where you realize that one day, you know, all this stuff that you have may be gone. And you learn to appreciate it. Yeah.
That's true. That's very true.
But at any rate, tonight we were going to kick around Robert Davey. I don't know if you know who he is. You should. He starred in 140 movies and TV roles, from Die Hard and Showgirls to CSI and Law and Order. But the thing that I picked up about him, and that is that he has a great voice, tenor voice. I think it's a tenor. You know, I could be mistaken, but he sings Sinatra. And Sinatra had that voice that was unmatchable. But see, he sings a lot of the songs that Sinatra does, and he's excellent at it. And so, you know, this guy is very, very talented. And the reason that we are kind of kicking this around tonight is that this guy is a Trump supporter. You know, Trump's, you know, this whole thing with this election is totally irritating the way things are going. And I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, and now I know why, and I'm definitely not right now. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, when you get right down to it, you know, the people that don't like Trump, the Bushes, and a lot of others, and they signed on board this time, last I seen, 123, 124 names, that they wouldn't vote for Trump. You've got billionaires coming out. You know, you got all this big money, all this globalist money, all these big-name Republicans that act like spoiled brats, and the Warrior and I was talking about this. And the thing of it is, the whole thing is just sickening. If these people were really leaders of the Republican Party, they would have showed up at the convention instead of being spoiled brats, taking their money with them, and just walking off the stage like they're a bunch of you-know-what, and like you can't do without them. Well, we can do without you, Bushes. We can do without all you billionaires. You know, sit on your money and go somewhere else. Take all your garbage and leave.
Yeah.
You know, but at any rate. So he was on Neil Cavuto, you know, on Fox News. And we're talking about the Never Trump movement, which is still there. And he says of the Never Trump, he says, let them do it so the whole GOP can self-destruct, Davey said sarcastically. It's a dinosaur. It's as old as the elephant tusks lying in the Museum of Natural History. They have a candidate now that can win a general election. If they coalesce, they would win the general election and get more conservative ideas put forward than anything. Trump is the last hope for America, Davey said. I don't want nuance. I want bold colors, red, white, and blue. When I saw those Navy sailors, now this is when they got captured by Iran, on the boats on their knees, I mean, that sends a picture about America that I haven't ever seen before. And I think we need Donald Trump right now. The country needs him, and he is the only candidate for me. For me. That can stand up to the establishment and to the left and to the right. And he hit the nail on the head, because Trump is not just standing against Hillary. He's got the right, he's got the left, and the establishment itself. And so, even if you didn't care for the guy, you got to give him some kind of credit for what he's able to put up with.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, people just absolutely loathe this guy. But he has support, too.
Yeah, I think it'd be funny if he won.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would. Well, you know, and these same you know, rich Republicans, the Bushes, and all the ones, actually, it's most of the ones from the Bush-Cheney White House, they all gave to Liz Cheney. And we talked about that last night. So she won the primary, and most of her money came from out of state and from these big-name Republicans, all of whom hate, except for Cheney. Cheney actually came out, you know, not Liz Cheney, but her dad, supporting Trump. But a lot of the others, boy, they definitely did. So, Robert Davey, yes, if you ever have a chance, he does have a website, and he does let you listen to some of the stuff that he does. I mean, he does excellent concerts. If you ever have a chance, I mean, from what I've seen, you know, I don't go to concerts. I don't go to any of these things like it, you know, so I would never go. But, you know, he does have a great voice, and he does sing Sinatra. And, I mean, if you're into that kind of music, not everybody's into it. I personally like classical, and I like old-time Christian hymns and old-time Christmas hymns. Christmas, okay? I like the old hymn, you know?
Yeah.
Like In the Garden, Amazing Grace, you know, on a hill far away. To the old rugged cross.
Yeah.
An emblem of suffering and shame. Yep, the old songs.
Oh, I like the old songs.
I do too, man. And I miss the old songs. But we do have a couple of old songbooks around here. And every once in a while I like to crack them open and sing a few.
You like what? So
I like to crack open the hymnal and sing a few.
Yeah.
You know? Boy, I tell you, I do not like this static.
Oh, man, it's terrible. Sometimes you're almost impossible to hear what you're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I could do. You hang on there, and I'll try to call back in, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if that'll help, but I'll either do my something else. So hang on. Okay,
how's that's
that?
Much better. That's much better.
Okay, good.
That's amazing.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, it's this phone line. And,
yeah, I hope it stays that way. It's clear. No static. It's awesome.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the way it has been, you know, clear. We usually had a pretty good line. But at any rate, so if you're just looking at this video, by the way, you're not going to see the first part of it because we had some interference, and I decided to cut that video, and I had to disconnect and call back in order to see if I could get a clear line, because we've had a lot of rain here and the lines got all messed up, including the internet. Everything was messed up. It's been messed up last night. Throughout the day, it comes and goes. But at any rate, right now it's doing good, so we'll go with the flow. And today it was good for quite a long time, and then this afternoon it fell, and then it came back a little while ago. You know, so well, we do have some people out repairing it, and Hard to tell.
So yeah, they better get it repaired.
So at any rate, this video is going to be about an hour instead of an hour and a half. Last night when everything cratered, I didn't have anything to upload, and this morning I was trying it on my little tablet, and I was using the 5G from Verizon. I can tell you the 5G from Verizon didn't work, because it would have been 8 hours to upload one video, and that's
good
not
grief.
Even a three-hour video. So I got rid of it, but I did manage, though, on my big system was able to get through and hold it. And you know what I had to use was the new Edge browser, because it held it there. I tried some of the other browsers, and they kept breaking. So I used the Edge. And I'll tell you, I haven't used Edge at all, but I've got the anniversary update on all our computers. And the Edge, they've done a lot of work, and they're going to do even more work on Edge. But I did notice, and that's one of the reasons I like Edge, is the HTML and the way it operates. It's crisp and clean in a lot of its operations and dealing with plugins and apps and various other things. And every once in a while, you will find a couple of things in this anniversary edition that might have a problem there, but they do get fixed fairly quick. So at any rate, a little plug for Microsoft Edge. But I was using it as a default, but I really use Google Chrome as my default, because it does what I want it to do, and I also use Edge because for the things I need it for. And then I also use Firefox. Firefox I use the less. And there is a reason for that. They came out quite a number of years ago with some of their statements and things they were doing that cross hairs with me in what I think of companies when they begin saying things like that. So I decided I wasn't going to keep them number one. They're at the dog pile as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Don't say dog. I like my dogs.
Yeah, we do like dogs around here. Cat pile. But see, cats come in handy when you want to get rats and stuff. Actually,
yeah.
If you have Siamese. Now, see, when I was raised, we had Siamese. And our Siamese, coming into the house, we had a big planter. We had a pretty good-sized house at that time. And there's this big planter. And it had ivies and everything, and the cat would be in the second rung up at the top. And you had to get after the cat, because she would use the planter as a potty box, too. Yeah. But it's right there. And when you come into the house, that Siamese sat there and watched you go by like she was ready, like she was a panther, you know? And it was so funny. While I was doing the stories this week for the show yet last night, I came across an article, and I didn't click on it. It was too funny, but, you know, this guy, you know, was kept in his house by this cat because he was afraid of this cat. Yeah, the cat was mean.
It was his neighbor's cat or something, friend's cat.
Now, see, I have heard the stories of cats leaping on people. Now, our Siamese didn't do it.
Well, my friend had a Siamese, and that cat attacked me when I came in their front door one time.
Yeah, they're not the kind of cat that you put on your lap and pet. That's why I like them. I mean,
yeah,
they will protect
you.
Well, we had a tomcat.
The what?
And that old Tom Siamese, he was tough. So at any rate, we're going to get into our study tonight.
Okay, that sounds wonderful.
And, you know, It's hard to believe how fast time goes around here.
Oh, I know. Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, at any rate, we are in part five right now. And this has been a long series, and we've been doing Romans on Thursday night. And Romans, we're about done with Romans. We got one more little segment. We got three chapters left. And tonight we're going to be talking about not forsaken, being kept. That's our theme in Christian living. Ordered of the Lord. And you know, when you do these things on a Friday night like this, and you're only doing about an hour or so, it takes you a while to get through some of these. Now, the scripture that we take for this is Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is an excellent psalm. And to pick out one thing from that whole thing. But, see, this is where we get a couple of good things here. I mean, when we talk about Christian living. And, see, this is not just general Christian living, okay? We're not talking about whether or not you should go down to the mini-mart. Now, that's what we call the little stores. Or go to the local grocery store, go to the gas station, whatever you do, you know. Should I do this or should I do that? Now, that's not what we're talking about. In the Christian living, we're dealing with things here that are life and death. Where we're talking about when things are tough, are you going to survive? And it comes right down to the Word of God. And do you believe what it says? Now, see, in Psalm 37, 23 through 27 is where we get this. But I'm just going to take one verse because we are going to find this verse in our study. But, see, in verse 25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Now, I like this one. David writes, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Now, this is really a good scripture. And the reason it is that it has to do with history, has to do with personal experience. You know, David said, I was young and now I'm old and I haven't seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Now, that's a good testimony. Now, in our world today, you and I both have seen Christians oppressed, Christians put in jail, Christians starved to death. I mean, literally, you know, in Africa, Christian tribes that, you know, these are tribesmen that had come to the Lord a long time ago and has been in their village ever since. And famine came, you know, and this one in particular was over in Ethiopia. There's also other places in Africa. And they literally were starving. But see, you know, the issue here is that it's the Word of God. And you have two choices, to believe or not to believe. To believe that in the midst of everything going on where we're at today, that there will be a way for you to get through it. Now, see, that is the main point. Now, in this, we're looking at the word kept. Because, see, we're talking about Christian living being kept. You know, it's just like, you know, you have a set of keys. and you keep them with you. You keep them in your purse. You keep them in your pocket. Now, this last week, I thought I lost a set of my keys, a very important set of keys. I was beside myself. And I looked all over it, and I just couldn't understand how I could have lost them. But coming on home, I felt a check in my spirit that I hadn't lost them after all. So I kept my hopes up, and when I got here, sure enough, they were here. But you see, when you lose keys, or even think you lose keys, I mean, you wind up with a few more gray hairs if you're at a certain age, just over, you know, concern. You know, and especially when you get to the senior part, there's something about being a senior that you find yourself at times getting a little more concerned about things than you normally would. And so you have to work overtime to counterbalance that and to make sure that you're not going overboard, that you're in faith and you're where you need to be. I mean, there's that checking process. Now, in John 15:20, it says, "Remember the word that I've said unto you." Of course, the Lord speaking, "The servant is not above, is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also." Now, see, that word "kept" is the one we've been following all the way through the study. And it's the Greek Strong's 5883, or 5083. And, you know, when we talk about kept, it's that keeping. I mean, it's kept. You know, you did it. You know, when he says they've kept, yeah, I've kept them. I've walked in them. I've obeyed them. You know, when he says to do this, I did it. See, kept. So when we're, and that's the same word that's used in a lot of cases here, in a lot of different English words, and we've covered this in this study. So when he's talking about if they have kept my sayings, now see, this is a good verse anyway, because it says if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. And this is also to understand that if you find someone that is in faith, and they get into the Word of God, and they actually keep the Word of God. When the Lord says to do something, they try to follow it. He says, if they keep my sayings, they're going to keep yours. So, and this really answers the question in the churches, why don't Christians, you know, keep the Word more often or a little more faithful? See, the thing here is that the pastor preaches a sermon, they say, well, that's a good sermon, walk away, and 5 minutes later, they don't even know what he said, but they think it was a good sermon. But they don't remember any details, and it goes in one ear and out the other. They don't remember any scripture, very few of them. And the Lord says, you know, if they're going to keep my sayings, they'll keep yours. In other words, if they don't bother to keep the sayings and the Word of God, don't waste your breath, because they'll just nod, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do it, and they never will. But so it's really good verse in John 15:20. And, of course, in John 15, he does talk about, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So that whole section, I actually like to go from John 10 all the way to about John 18. That's a real good section in there. So at any rate, the word kept. James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty at all." Now, I'm not giving you this to let you think what these verses, we're not talking about the law tonight. We're not talking about the fact that if you offend in one point of the law, you're going to be guilty at all. And this is true. You know, if you're going to be justified by the law, you got to keep the whole law. And if you offend in one little itty-bitty point, then you're guilty of it all. But the scripture says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. So the law is not going to justify anybody. God, in Romans chapter 11, quite clear, we've covered this before, made it clear that when we talk about the law, that nobody's going to be justified by that law. And God had said that all would be considered guilty, so he might save some. And you'll find that in Romans 11. But see, James here, again, uses the word keep. Keep here, the whole law. In other words, you don't miss any of it. You keep it, you follow it. So when we're talking about Christian living being kept, we're talking about being kept. Not halfway kept, not a quarter kept, but all the way kept. And see, the reason I'm going through this is because I want to impress you, faith-wise, that in this which we're at right now and what we're going to see, you have to get into this mode of survival and get into this essence of, yes, I believe it, yes, I'm going to be there. For whosoever shall keep the whole law. Now that means, you know, or if they have kept my sayings. And of course, if you get up in Revelation 12:17, it says, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now these keeping, kept, and keep. And we gave you the other ones in earlier teachings of this. We're not going to go through them. But it gives that permanency that God is there and he's going to keep you. You know, when he kept Noah, he didn't keep Noah half the way, did he? He kept him all the way. You know, and it was God that shut the door. And finally, it was the Lord that let him out. I mean, he got out of there. It was the Lord that put the rainbow in the sky. It was the Lord that told him he wasn't ever going to do this again, etc. Keeping, keeping. So if we're going to be going through this end of days, which is one of the most intense that any generation has ever seen, then do you not think that the same God that kept Noah, that delivered Lot out of Sodom, that delivered the children of Israel away from Pharaoh, that led the children of Israel through the promised land so they could get their land and they defeated their enemies, the same God that was with Daniel when he was put into the lion's den and delivered him, the same God that was with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and delivered them, the same God that was with Peter when he was in jail, surrounded by guards, and the angel showed up, and the chains fell off Peter. He led Peter out of the prison cell, out through the prison, into the prison yard. The gates of the prison opened up. He walked out through the gates. The angel disappeared, and Peter thought he had been in a vision until he realized that he was actually outside the prison. See, that's kept. Okay? That's delivered. Now, the big question that people will ask, well, what about all those that aren't kept? Well, see, even if you die, you're still kept. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So there's going to be martyrs, and they will get a martyr's reward. But see, the Lord did say not one hair of your head would be harmed. So if you're thrown in a burning fire and you die a martyr's death, when it's all said and done, you're going to have hair again. It's going to be all white and you're going to be glorified. See, you're not going to lose your reward. But in the essence, in the truth that I'm leading you through here, and that is you need to think in terms of being physically delivered. Being here and seeing miracles and signs and wonders, believing that God is able to keep you. Now see, another scripture that we've had previously, you know, is found in John. I think it's the 17th chapter. And the Lord's praying to his Father. He says, I pray thee, Father, that you would not keep, that you would not take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil, meaning the devil. And see, that was his prayer for us. Now see, if there's evil around me, I'm going to believe God to deliver me from that evil because I believe Christ prayed for me and my family, and I stand on that scripture, we will be delivered. He will be with us, for God gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. For the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. See, I believe that. Now, I know that people are going to be martyred. And it's not that we're afraid of being martyred, but we're going to believe God. Like for right now, let's look at America today. Okay, while people are having trouble, I'm telling you that God's going to keep you and that he will keep you. But you've got to have faith. You've got to believe, because the devil's going to try to take it from you. But there's jobs out there. There's a way to make a living. There's a way to have him take care of you. And I believe that, absolutely. But you also have to be paying your tithes, being giving above your tithes if you can. And that's just all there is to it, you know. And giving to the poor and helping them, see. And let that sowing, but do it for the Lord's sake. Do it for those who don't have anything. Do it to support those ministries that are helping right where people are hurting. And we've told you about some of these. So that's what we're doing here when we talk about Christian living being kept. You need to understand that it requires faith on your part, and you have to literally believe that if God kept these others who I mentioned previously, God is no respecter of person, and he will keep you. But God expects you to live by faith, believing. For he that cometh to God, okay, the first part of that is what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is, so we can believe that he will answer, because he is. He actually exists. And that as we seek them, he's a rewarder, and that reward is when we seek him, he will reward us and answer our prayers and help us through this. He will give us grace. We will make it through. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11:19, Paul says, when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome to you, so will I keep myself. Now, the issue, the word there is kept. See? And the reason we use that, again, is to drill in your spirit that God is in the keeping business. Now, in Revelation 14:12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's in Revelation. The patience, keeping the commandments of God and keeping the faith of Jesus. Keeping, obeying. Revelation 22:9, John talks to the angel, and he is going to worship the angel, and the angel says, then saith he to me, see that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Keep the sayings of this book. Again, the essence that this guy's talking about, the angel kept the sayings, the commandments of the book. That's who he was of. And this is really an interesting verse. Because, see, this is the one verse in the entire scripture that shows us. Now, who was this guy? He was of thy brethren, the prophets. See, he was a prophet. And he's appearing as an angel. He's in Revelation, and John sees him. Now, this tells us that, in fact, when you die, you're not going to sit on a cloud and play a harp. You're not just going to be wandering around in lilies and valleys and green stuff and not have anything to do. You know, there. Believe me, when you get up there, there will be something for you to do. And here we see specifically that this brethren is of the prophets, and he says, don't worship me. You don't see this anywhere else. I mean, now you see Jesus when he was glorified, you know, we call it the Transfiguration, and Peter, James, and John were there, and Moses and Elijah stood and talked to him. Now you see that. But see, they just were talking to the Lord. Here, we see someone that was active, that was a prophet, that died, and now we see him again in Revelation, in John's vision. Now, this is amazing, because this tells you that this thing's real, and that there are things that you don't take into consideration, things that you, you know, when you die, you know, I mean, for a long time, people thought when they died, they were just going to be in a casket in the earth somewhere, and then at the end of days, when the Lord came, they would come out of the casket, and God would give them a new body and stuff, and their soul would sleep. No, that's not true. Now, you see, when you die in the Lord, you're going to be present with him. Be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. That is where you're going to be. But see, you're not just going to be present with the Lord. This verse proves that you're going to be busy. I mean, I think it's awesome, you know? And so, I mean, if you look close, you see things in Scripture. And preachers don't preach on that. Trust me. Not many of them anyway. Matthew 28, 2 through 4. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now keepers, 5083, it's the same word as keep, have kept, and all the others that we've covered before. And see, this is, it's funny to me anyway, that in Scripture, you have one Greek word, and it's used so many different ways. And it's one Greek word. In all of these, if you were reading in the Greek, it would be the same word. But when you're reading it, you see, in the English, it's different words. In order to define in our language what they're talking about. But it's interesting to note that. And so the meaning of these words give credence to the original thing of what we're talking about being kept. The issue of keeping and keeping things and people who keep things is very important in Scripture. God did not give you a Bible for you not to keep it. He did not give you the commandments not to keep. He didn't give you promises of God for you not to keep and remember and stand on, you see? And this has nothing to do with being justified by the law. You know, as a Christian, we're delivered and we're saved and we're justified. But it's not by the law. The law of faith, without the law of faith, you couldn't get saved. And I've talked about that in other studies. You're going to have to go look it up. Let's see, the law of faith. Matter of fact, we covered it in the Romans series. Because it's in Romans. Now, let's go down. Now, here's another one. Keepeth. It's the same word. See, Christian living being kept. Christian living, the Lord is our keeper. You see? Christian living, the Lord keepeth us from all harm. And so you got to think, well, am I going to believe that? Am I going to let this sink in? Am I going to believe this? And what am I going to do about it? Now, see, here's John 14. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay, now what does this tell us? If you have his commandments, do you have his commandments? Yes, you do. You got the Bible. And keepeth them. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Well, for most Christians in America, they say, the law, I'm going to go to hell. I can't keep it. No, that's not what this says at all. And that's not even what the Scripture says. There's nothing in Scripture that tells you the law is going to send you to hell. The law was never meant to save you. The law is not going to save you. The blood of Christ is the salvation. And your faith in believing what he did. The commandments are for you to learn and to know and to obey and understand. But he says, he it is that loves me. What? If you get in his word and you follow him, you believe him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Now, what does this tell you? Well, if you're on good terms with the Lord, when you need help, what's he going to do? He's going to be there. But if you reject his word, if you reject everything that he's trying to tell you, and you call upon him, you know, the deliverance may not be exactly the way you want. In verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine but the Father's which sent me. And we've talked about this before, because many people talk about, well, you know, I keep the New Testament, what Christ said. Well, see, I got news for you. Christ just told you right here in this verse, John 14:24, he says the word that you heard from him is not his but the Father's, and it's not going to vary from anything else. The apostles, you know, when they taught out of the law and the prophets and the books of wisdom, the Torah, the Tanakh. That's what they taught from. And so this, you know, when we're talking about, okay, when things get really bad, am I A, going to pull close to the Lord and do what he wants? B, do my own thing and hope it works out. C, just don't care and whatever happens, happens. I mean, you pick it out. But see, I chose a long time ago that, number one, I'm not going to open tomorrow with fear. I'm not going to fear. The only thing to fear is fear itself. And I'm not going to fear fear, and I'm not going to fear tomorrow, because I've got a God that I believe will take care of me. And I'm going to open that door to tomorrow by faith. See, and in this, I'm going to believe, because I'm opening it by faith, that God will keep me. And if I need to be somewhere, he will direct me. He will take me. He will deliver me. He will find a way. And if I'm surrounded by enemies and thrown in prison, he will grant me favor like he did Joseph. See, keeping you may not be your idea of keeping. See, and this is where we get into. Same thing when we talk about deliverance. See, everything is in God's timing. Everything is accordance with the Lord. So when we're talking keeping, your version of keeping and God's version of keeping may be different, but he does abide by his word. 1 John 3:24 says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Now see, did you notice how many, now these are all New Testament scriptures. And, you know, I mean, when you get in mainline denominations and the Protestant movement, you won't hear a pastor anywhere, usually, talk about keeping his commandments. It just won't happen. Because we consider that an anathema. Not me, but the Protestant movement, you know. And even the Catholics. And you see, the Catholics themselves lift up Mary. well, you know, if you go through Acts, when the 120 were gathered in the upper room, it mentions the apostles, it mentions Mary and the brethren, meaning the Lord's brothers and sisters and people that he knew. But see, Mary was not lifted up. She was mentioned along with everybody else. See, but today the Catholics lift up Mary as actually the Savior. Matter of fact, there's doctrine. And I remember years ago coming across it where they had prophesied, they had talked about Mary's going to carry the salvation. You have to believe in Mary and belong to, you know, everything that they talk about. Now, of course, a lot of their changes come out of their popes that they have. But see, we have to get into the Word of God, not into the Catholicism. But see, you've got millions of Catholics that believe this kind of stuff, you know. And even Pope John, when he got when he died, he had Mary written on his casket when he was, because he, when he was shot that time, he believes that Mary saved him. But you see, Mary didn't have nothing to do with it. Mary would be the first one to tell you, don't worship me. Lift up the Lord. Because that's what she was doing in Acts when they were gathered around on the day of Pentecost. They all weren't worshiping Mary. They were worshiping the Lord. They were being one in unison together. But you can't tell the Catholics that. You can't tell the Roman Church that. But see, this is where we're at in modern-day Christianity. I mean, and you have a lot of these kind of things, issues. Revelation 2:26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." He that overcometh. Now see, that's what we got to do. We got to overcome. We got to get through this. "And keepeth my works," my works. That's what he does, okay? See, he tells us to keep his commands, but here he's saying his works. Those things that he told us to do, that's the activity. Revelation 16:15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." See, when you forget the Lord, when you turn away from the Lord, when you're overcome with the Lord, the world, when you are busy in the world and so caught up, you don't see him coming. But see, he says, "Blessed are those that watch and keep your garments." Now that garments is your cloak of righteousness. And that's on you because of Christ. And you can't afford to allow yourself to get into all manner of lusts and things that defile you. And that's why we keep his word. That's why we know the difference between the lusts of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. There's the deeds of the flesh, there's the deeds of the spirit. You know, if you sow unto the Spirit and walk in the things of the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If you sow unto the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Revelation 22:7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now, you can't get away from this. You can ignore it. But in the midst of all this, if we want to be kept, we need to keep what Christ wants us to keep. We need to walk how Christ wants us to walk. Now, in this section, we're looking at the Hebrew 5800. To loosen, relinquish, permit, forsake, leave, destitute, and refuse. Now see, so Psalm 9, 7 through 10. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now you see, being kept, not forsaken. This is the not forsaken. See, this is the important part. Being kept is important. Not forsaken is important too. The Lord will be. There's no ifs, ands, and buts in that. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed. So in the world today, do you find yourself oppressed? Many Christians do. Lot, his soul was vexed by the wicked deeds that he saw from day to day. And in these last days, wickedness is everywhere. Abominable wickedness, godlessness, that's going to vex your soul. If you're a righteous man or woman, a righteous young child or a teenager, you're trying to live for God, the things that going on in the world will vex your soul, will try your soul, will, and it'll work to tear you down. And that's why you need to pray, why you need to seek him all the time. And a refuge in times of trouble. Now see, that's what we want. See, this verse is what we want. If you're oppressed, if you're going through trouble, if you're facing death, if you're surrounded by enemies, who do you turn to? It ain't Ghostbusters. It is the Lord. He's a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now see, if you're thinking that this God and his son, if you're thinking like many of the Muslims and some Christian pastors, that the word Allah is the same God for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you're wrong. You can go back and you can see the original languages, and at one time that word Allah meant the same thing, but that does not mean it's the same God by no stretch. Number one, the Allah, or the God of the Muslims, has no son, and they will tell you that. They will tell you they believe in Jesus, but not as the Son of God. That is an Antichrist. 1 John tells us that. Now see, our God is full of grace, full of mercy. His name is not Allah, it's Yahweh. But see, the Lord told us he's our Father. Now, see, a lot of people, including the Jews, including a lot of Messianic believers, they have all this rigmarole of, you've got to know the exact Hebrew. No, you don't. The Lord prayed, he says, he's the Father, your Father in heaven. You can come in before the throne of grace and call on the Father in the name of the Lord. See, the Lord knows what is in your heart. But these are issues that you're going to find out there many times when you start talking about it, and you're going to find people that will hate the name of Jesus. You will find people that will dislike the word Yeshua. You know, and you'll have people with a long Yahashua. And they will add, and they're different forms is what they are. But they're the same name. And, of course, I went through this at one time. I'm not going to do it here. But all I'm saying here is that when you're seeking the Lord, you're seeking the Father, and we're going through tough times, you've got family, you know, you have to be in there, and you have to get in this attitude. Number one, you can't let up. Number two, you've got to be binding the enemy. Number three, you've got to be seeking the Lord and looking at him all the time. Every day, you've got to anticipate this enemy. You got to make sure that you're covering all the bases. Your family's covered in prayer, in that cloak of prayer. And if you're not willing to pray, if you're not willing to get in the Word, if you're not willing to stand on these scriptures, if you're not willing to believe, then you're up the creek. God requires you to walk in faith. For without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. I mean, you don't even get to the point of keeping anything or getting to the point where, you know, God is not going to forsake you. You can't even get to first base. If you don't have faith, you can't please him. And we're commanded. We're going to live by faith. Now, you have the entire world. And I'll tell you, the nations of men don't give one iota about your faith. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse in America. And you're going to need somebody. Because if you get to the point where you're alone and you're in prison, and Christians overseas face this, and they get alone, and they're thrown in these dark dungeons, and the enemy throws away the key, and these guys are there, forsaken by men. But in that dark day corner, believe me, hear me now, please. These people have recorded, and I've read testimony after testimony, that when they get in there, they're actually free. That the Lord and his presence is so strong. Believe me, they come out of their changed people. Because you serve a God. Yeah. Daniel's in the lion's den. The lion sat down over in the corner and went to sleep instead of eating Daniel. Because the angel of the Lord was there. Now see, God says his angels encampeth round about you. And you need to, if you haven't done this around your house and around your family, you know, you say, Lord, post your warrior angels all around us according to your word. And believe you me, when I came down here where we're at now, a lot of places where I've lived, I'll go out with the anointing oil and I'll walk the whole property. And every so many feet, I'll put a drop. And I will go around that land and sanctify it in the name of the Lord. And I will post angels. I'll say, Lord, post your angel according to your word. Post your angel according to your word. He gives angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. The angels of the Lord camp around about them that fear him and deliver them. See, we've got a word here. See, that is your key. Now, here's Psalm 37 we were talking earlier. And see, this part tonight is about the forsaken, not forsaken. See, the one before was not forsaken. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. This God did not relinquish them. He did not leave them. He did not allow them to be destitute. He did not refuse them. He did not loosen his grip on them. He did not. He did the opposite. He surrounded them. He kept them from evil. His angels were all around you. And even to this day, they're around you as you seek the Lord. Now, Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man. Why? Because the good man follows the word of God. That's light under your feet. The word of God, the Bible, is light under your feet. God has shown you the way to walk, people. Okay? And that's why the Ten Commandments are so important, because they're the ABCs to begin with. You know, if you really love God, you know, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You love your neighbors, yourself. Well, sometimes that's hard. But the thing of it is that if you're loving your neighbors all around you, the people you run into, if you truly love God and love your neighbor, you're not going to be lusting after his wife or lusting after the husband or lusting after their car, lusting after whatever they have, see? We don't do that. We don't get into that, see? And see, the Lord has given us of his Spirit so we can walk in a way that's above the world. See, we're not like everybody else. And this is what Christianity and the ongoing thing in the world tries to make. It tries to make Christians just like everybody else. We are not like everybody else. We have the Spirit of the living God in us. We have been given the ability, no other faith has been given this ability, to live above the sin and iniquity of the world. A people who must believe God, and we can lay hands on people and pray for them, and we can see the dead rise. We can walk on water. Do you get the drift here tonight? See, we're not like everybody else. We are not another religion. We are not, you know, just, you know, Institute of the Blind belonging to the New World Order here. We are Christians. We are believers. And our God is coming back, and we are going to assume this earth in the name of the Lord. So our steps, as we follow him, they're ordered by the Lord. And God sees how you're walking, and that delights him. But it says, though he fall. Now see, there's times you may fall. He says, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now see, when you go through problems, and I've gone through problems in my life, I've been there, and I've been down. Tower's been down. And when you fall, when you get down, when something happens, sometimes it's hard to get back up. But see, God in his mercy works in you, and in God's eyes, you're not cast down utterly. He's there. And I'm telling you, every Christian that has been in the pits of despair, everybody that, you know, when you're even an unbeliever or a backslidden Christian, when you are in the edge of suicide, when you are in the edge of all this destruction, God is there to do something, to help you, to deliver you, to be with you, you see. You're not going to be utterly cast down. Now, see, you have to believe that. He says, and this is David, we read this earlier, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. See, that's that word. The other was has not forsaken. This is have not seen, or not seen the righteous forsaken. See, he's not seen the righteous forsaken. He's not seen. If they're righteous, if they're walking in his ways, if they're seeking this God, he's never seen one that has been forsaken by God, who was destitute with no hope. He's never seen that. And he says, nor his seed begging bread. See, that's the kids and the grandkids. I've got kids and grandkids. I serve the Lord. I want to get into the Word. I want to preach the Word. I want to teach the Word. I want to be there with God. I want to be a good servant, a good steward. I want to do what he wants me to do. And I want his blessings on my seed and my seed. I want them angels round about my family. I want to be able to stand up and bind the darkness and the devil in Jesus' name. Because Christ triumphed over every principality and power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Get excited and understand tonight that you are not just a normal religious type of faith. You are a child of the King. You are blood washed, born again, overcomers, that this God says, I'm coming back. And my reward is with me. And if David said that I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, I believe him. He's a man after God's own heart. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell from evermore. Now he tells you the end thing. Don't do evil, do good. How do you know to do good? From God's word. The Lord tells you. Now see, Israel, you know, they were his people. You know, and God spent time with the prophets, sending them early to try to wake Israel up. He tried to wake Judah up, the southern kingdom, and he tried to wake, you know, Israel, the northern kingdom, the lost tribes, Ephraim. In the end, neither tribe didn't follow through. They decided they would serve other gods. They would do something else. So they faced judgment. Now you see, in that judgment, they became forsaken. When Babylon overrun Israel, the church was forsaken. The temple was destroyed. The things in the temple carted away by Babylon. The priests, the prophets, all of them carried away or killed. The king, his kids were killed. He was blinded. Israel lost Jerusalem totally, lost their lands totally. Isaiah says it this way, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. See, Jeremiah warned, Isaiah warned. You know, the prophets warned Israel. But with great mercies will I gather thee. See, and God did gather them. He brought them back into the land. They had another temple. And in the end, they were still in that other temple when the Lord came. And he came as the Messiah. But they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Matter of fact, they were blinded. They couldn't see it. And so the Lord said, your house is left unto you desolate. But there were Jews that believed in Israel when they saw him. Many of the common people believed him. Those who saw miracles, the invalids, those with all manner of diseases and sicknesses, they believed who he was. But the chief priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they didn't believe. Now, I believe absolutely that there was some in that group that believed, but they had to keep it quiet. Nicodemus was one of them. He came to Jesus at night, John 3. In Isaiah 62:4, the Lord says this, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hesavah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. And that's what those terms mean. One means delight, and the other means married. See, as the child of God today in the New Testament, you and I are the bride of Christ. The Lord delights in us, and one day we'll be at the wedding supper of the Lamb, and we will be his. To the glory of the Father. thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. And I'm telling you tonight that if God did this to Israel, to the Jews, to them and their temple, to their priests and their prophets, you be warned, church, lest you become like Israel and not believe, lest you sell yourself to the world and forget your first love, lest you become like the Laodicean church, which many of the churches are. They think they're rich and in need of nothing, but the Lord said, do you not know that you're wretched, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in the fire. Many of these churches, many of these Christians are going to feel forsaken because they've served the wrong thing. Israel had to suffer. Israel went through the fire because they would not listen. Many of your churches today, many of your people don't listen. Many of the pastors, they don't do what they're supposed to be doing. And there is familiar spirits and all kinds of godlessness that's entered into the churches today. And God is not going to have it. But he's going to have a people. And I'm telling you tonight that this is a God you need to understand and serve. And that we are living in perilous times, tough times. And it's no fun thing to sit here and think of the churches and what they may be going through. But guess what? They are no better than the Israelites. What makes them better? The fact that Jesus died on the cross and they think they're covered? Or the fact that Jesus died on the cross, and if they would repent of their sins and stop doing what they're doing, everything would be fine. But make no mistake, God is going to shake. He's shaking everything right now. And in all of this, God's going to find out where the heart is. So this is not just, you know, Johnny come lately, you know, everything's going to work out fine thing. Let's just hope for the best. That ain't going to work. You better understand that while the invitation is open, anybody can come, but many do not because of the darkness. They love that more. They love darkness more than they love the Lord. They don't want to go there. And the Lord tells us as much. And that's the problem. But I've told people time and time again throughout the years, don't just think because you're sitting in some church and everything's fine that everything's going to work out. You need to take your salvation in your own hands. And you need to make sure that you're doing what you need to be doing. And you need to make sure that your children are doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, that's the bottom line. And you need to be doing it now, not next week. But see, you know, really, the bottom line here is God loves you. that in the end, he doesn't want to forsake you, and he won't forsake you. But this is a God who expects you to do what he says. And for us, we need to be watching. There are so many ways that the enemy tries to trip us up. And you know, many times it's just ourselves. You know, we give in. We end up doing things we shouldn't be doing. We make excuses. But see, this study has been about Christian living being kept. The focus that we want to be kept. We don't want to be forsaken. God is not going to forsake you. Now, you can forsake him. You can forget him. You can walk away from him. But he will not walk away from you. Not forsake you. Now, I know many times people have thought that it was God's fault. But it's not. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, ask your blessings on those that hear this whenever they hear it. Lord, grant them faith and strength. Give them guidance. Let them hear and receive this word and what you have for them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, from interfering with anybody that hears this word. I bind you from interfering. I bind you from twisting the words around and from confusing these people. Father, let them hear your voice, your spirit, your word, in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. Well, we are here 2 minutes, and the signal did pretty good tonight after we...
Yeah, once you called back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good message. I like that. You know, the Lord will never forsake us, but we've got to be careful and guard our hearts and guard our souls and stay in there, get in there with the Lord and pray and seek his face. Hear
we
from
do.
Him.
You know, there's so many things out there. I mean, if you just say, you know, the things that you yourself could trip yourself up, but the enemy
has
like a minefield.
Oh my goodness, I know.
You know, there was a little story I read today, and this happened to U.S. troops. They actually wound up in this one little gully where they were surrounded by mines.
Oh.
But
that's awful.
Yeah, talk about a pickle. Well, see, the enemy wants us to be surrounded by minefields and all kinds of traps. But we need to get in the Word of God. We need to believe. We will make it through this, all of us.
Amen. Believe. Believe.
Yes, believe. Well, we're going to get out of here tonight. I'm glad we were able to get through this tonight. And it worked out. We thank the Lord for that. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Enjoy your Sabbath rest. Thanks for joining us.
Good night, everybody.
God bless you. Good night.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
daughter listened tonight.
Good.
Yeah. She was texting me. She was worried. So I thought, oh, my goodness, what about now? She's worried about not having enough cheese sauce for the weekend. Give me a freaking break.
Cheese sauce?
Yeah.
What do you mean, cheese sauce? You mean cheese? I thought she was coming down here.
She is off this weekend, but she doesn't want to get a call from the restaurant saying she's out of cheese sauce.
Oh.
Good grief, of all things to worry about, cheese sauce.
Well, can't they go get the frickin' stuff?
Well, I don't know if she sets herself up because the manager said he was going to call her and she's going to let her know how things would be. Well, leave her alone on her day off. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't go. I don't know. I'm too crazy. Don't worry about that.
Well, yeah, all the time. All the time.
No, I was telling her, you know, this, what Dad's talking about really applies to you or to your situation. You know, it is. Don't worry about it. You were talking about that kind of thing, you know? Listen to what your dad's saying. You listening, aren't you? I didn't say it like that, though. You know what your dad's talking about really applies to this study is really good to you. Yes, it is. She said, when she told me to pray, I said, well, just tell the Lord how you feel about everything. Just explain it all to him.
Let her go. Stop babying her. Let her go. She'll learn. If she don't learn, she's going to be mighty miserable. And you ain't going to make her learn by pestering her.
What?
Pestering her.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Hut, get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands. Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling! And screaming, and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset.